This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Libero Theater in Santa Barbara, California, it's NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Yay! Hello, everybody. Oh, nice. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you, Ophira.
Yeah, it's great to be back here. I know, it's nice. Look at you guys all relaxed and happy. Weird. I've been here, 2.5 days? I feel very relaxed. I feel very relaxed. We live in New York. It's a different experience out here. Do you feel relaxed?
I do. It takes a good 24 hours to uncoil, but yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, right. For the first 24 hours, you're like, can I get my coffee faster?
Yeah.
And then they're like, no. And you're like, okay. As different as it is to be here from New York, Santa Barbara and New York actually have a few things in common. For one, Santa Barbara is 92 miles north of Los Angeles. New Yorkers also feel above L.A. You guys feel better than Los Angeles, right? You're always, yeah, right? So we have an amazing show for you. We have four brilliant contestants that are going to be right up here playing some nerdy games with us. They're actually backstage right now daring each other to eat an entire pack of Necco wafers. But one of them will become our big winner. And what an amazing guest we have. It's hard to believe. Our special guest is Michael McDonald. Yeah. I'm excited. But when we announce this, all of our writers' boyfriends freaked out. They were like, oh my God, are you serious? That's amazing. You were beside yourself.
I was very excited, yeah. Listen, I...
Yeah, listen, I want to know.
I mean, he's got an iconic voice.
Oh, yeah.
He's been everywhere. He's sung with everybody.
Yeah.
He's got a fantastic solo career.
Yes.
He sang with Steely Dan.
I know.
He's like the epicenter of yacht rock.
So, yeah... You're a fan of yacht rock.
I'm a huge fan of yacht rock.
Yeah, what do you like about it?
I don't know if you know this, Ophira, but I'm a songwriter.
Yes, I do.
So for me, it's a very different experience to listen to music.
You're right, I wouldn't understand.
No, you wouldn't really understand what I'm hearing, because I'm hearing things on a different level.
Sure you are, yeah.
But for me, yacht rock is a very, very pleasing intellectual experience.
Yeah.
It's complicated, but it's also super smooth.
Super smooth. Yeah, I like it because it sort of communicates like the desire to go on a very easy adventure, coupled with the warm embrace of responsibility, right? Like, it kind of says, you know what? I do want a break from the trappings of everyday life, but also I want you to know I'm a dad. All right, let's play some games, everybody. Our first game is inspired by the expression West Coast, Best Coast. That rhyme is a great way to remember which coast is best. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Alex Johnson. You're a PhD geology student at the University of California.
I think so.
Santa Barbara. Yeah, you're pretty sure?
Yeah, I was there today.
Great. But you originally wanted to be an optometrist?
Oh, yes, ma'am, I did.
What happened?
I thought it'd be the easiest way to be a doctor.
To be an optometrist.
Yeah, I was like, optometrist, they don't do anything.
Yeah.
So I talked to the pre-med advisor, and she told me that I wasn't a thoroughbred. Her exact words.
What does that mean?
She compared me to a quarter horse, and I still don't know what it means. But it was her polite, or actually very impolite way of saying, you're not good enough to even be an optometrist. So she told me to do forestry, but as part of that, I had a geology class, and the professor looked like Samwise Gamgee. He had failed out of his undergrad his first time, and was like a 28-year-old professor. I'm like, I can do that! I can fail that many times easily.
Alex, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Your opponent is Jonathan Cook. You're an engineer for a defense contractor, and you spent an entire year tracking how many hours you did leisure activities and then compared those numbers to a study done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Okay, so was your goal to match it?
It wasn't my goal to match it. My goal was to read more during the year, and so I thought by recording it, I would be incentivized to do it more, which was right. And then afterwards, you know, noticed a small change in the slope of my reading time and was curious and looked up some of the numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Okay, so let's walk through what's actually happening in your life. How many books did you want to read?
I wanted to read 2 books a month.
2 books a month? That's great. Very ambitious. And then what happened that it declined?
I started dating my now wife.
Sure. There you go. Yeah. Jonathan, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Alex and Jonathan, whoever has more points after 2 games will go to our final round. So, in this word game, we rewrote the catchphrase West Coast, Best Coast to reflect more specific aspects of life in Southern California. Every answer is in the form West Coast, blank, coast. So you're going to fill in the blank with a different thing that rhymes with best.
For example, if I said there's nothing like taking a nap on the beach, you would answer West Coast, Rest Coast.
Easy enough. Ring in to answer, and here we go. Jumping in the Pacific Ocean makes me cold, especially my nipples. Alex.
West Coast, Chest Coast.
That is correct, yes.
Chill out on Sunday morning with a beach cocktail. We recommend a Hendry's Hendrix Martini with a citrus peel garnish. Jonathan.
What is Best Coast, Zest Coast?
I'll give it to you. That's correct.
This body star of the golden age of Hollywood knows that you're always happy to see her. Alex.
West Coast to May West Coast.
Yeah, that's correct.
Many celebrities have homes in Santa Barbara, including Oprah Winfrey, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Vlad the Impaler, a.k.a. Dracula, who's from this Romanian capital. Alex.
West Coast to Bucharest Coast.
You got it.
Yeah. This is your last clue. No, these aren't veneers. I've been brushing with Brilliance Blast toothpaste from this company whose tagline was once, open up and smile. Jonathan.
West Coast, Crest Coast.
Yeah, that's correct. Crest Coast. Great game, and Alex is in the lead. Did you know Santa Barbara is Spanish for Saint Barbara? I also just found out that Santa Claus is from Barcelona. Which leads us to our next game called Santas and Barbaras. We're going to play you a clip of Santa Claus from a holiday movie or TV special, mashed up with a clip of a famous person named Barbara. You can earn 1 point for identifying the film and 1 point for naming the Barbara. Alex, stay in the lead, and you are in the final round. Jonathan, you need to get more points, or you have to sit on Santa's lap and tell him your greatest regret of this year so far. Here are your first 2 clips.
Darling, what would you like for Christmas?
And sweet perfumes.
Movie and Barbara. Alex?
For the movie, it's an old one. So I'm guessing it might be like, Yes, Virginia, There's a Santa Claus or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Barbara, I was going to say Barbara Bush, but I don't think that's Barbara Bush.
All right. Bunch of great guesses there.
Probably all wrong.
But all wrong. That is correct. All right. Jonathan, can you steal?
Maybe if we play them again.
Well, yeah, it looks like we can do that.
Darling, what would you like for Christmas?
I want a gown of diamonds, long gloves and sweet perfumes.
I lied to you. I'm sorry.
That's
I can't
okay.
steal.
Just wanted to hear it again.
Yeah,
I get it.
This happens sometimes. Sometimes people, they're like, I'll hear it again. And then they realize it's the same clue. They get to hear it twice. No extra. All right, anyone out there, what's the movie? Miracle on 34th Street and the Barbara? Streisand. I say to both of you, learn your masters. These next two clips are both from the small screen.
With this coat and this hat, I look just like Saint Nick.
Nick, I think you spent about twice as much money as you needed to get this off the ground.
Jonathan.
Barbara from Shark Tank.
We can take that. Yeah, Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank. How about the other clip? Do you want to weigh in on that?
I don't think so.
Okay. Alex, can you steal the other half of this?
The Grinch Who Stole Christmas?
Yeah, you're right. That was how the Grinch stole Christmas. That's right. And I'm sure Shark Tank contestants probably consider Barbara Corcoran the Grinch of Shark Tank. All right, in this mashup, the first clip is of a retired politician.
We want to wake up the Congress to the fact that time is running out.
They were too late.
Too late? Why, nonsense.
Alex.
The clip was from Frosty, the snowman.
That is correct. How about the other half?
No.
Okay. Jonathan, can you steal?
I'm sorry. I think the barber's a California politician, but I do not know the last name.
All right. Can't take that as an answer. Let's hear from you people. What's the Barbara? Who's the Barbara? Senator Barbara Boxer. That is correct. Good job, audience. This is your last clue, and this last mashup gets dark.
I'm going to ask you a terrible question. Did you ever order anyone killed?
You killed him!
Did not. And he's not Santa.
Well, he was.
Jonathan.
Santa Claus. The Santa Claus.
Yes, the Santa Claus is
and
correct.
Then the other one, I believe, is also on the list, Barbara Walters.
Yeah, you got it! Yeah. Okay, great game. It's very close, but Alex is moving on to our final round. Coming up, our guest musician is Michael McDonald, E-I-E-I-O. We'll ask him what it was like to join the Doobie Brothers and become a newbie doobie. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot, so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Carvana. On a mission to make car buying more convenient and affordable than ever before, in minutes, you can browse thousands of options under $20,000. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to get started.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator for Planet Money podcast on NPR.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia, coming to you from Santa Barbara, California. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. He's a five-time Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter who's worked with the Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan, and Thundercat. Please welcome Michael McDonald.
Good evening, Santa Barbara.
Michael McDonald, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
So, I think a congratulations is in order. Just announced that the Doobie Brothers are going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, there's a good chance, yeah. Thank you. You know, it's her 50th anniversary this next year, so it's a very timely.
You've been singing professionally for 50 years, but you started singing and going on the road with your dad when he was gigging?
I did perform with my dad in a lot of amateur stuff, but he sang in bars all around St. Louis for fun. I mean, he just had his favorite piano players, and he would go down and...
What kind of stuff was he singing?
You know, we did a lot of like ragtime stuff, old songs. Mm-hmm. He was an Irish tenor, if you were going to have to describe him, you know. And he sang a lot of the Irish songs, and I played banjo for him, too, when I was a kid.
That's amazing.
And so we would do a lot of, like, you know, old rag songs, you know, and stuff like that.
And how old were you, like... 12?
You know, when I was about 10, 11, 12, or that age, I sang with my dad. Then I went into rock and roll and broke his heart, really. You know.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he thought it was terrible music?
Yeah, he didn't want to see me do that. But my grandmother snuck a guitar. She bought me a guitar for Christmas, and that was the end of my banjo playing.
See you later, banjo. So you moved from Missouri to Los Angeles to be a session musician.
I signed a recording contract with RCA Records.
Okay.
A producer from L.A. area, Rick Gerard, signed me to RCA Records. And, you know, like most artists in their first record deals, not much came of it, you know, probably for the better, really. But the wonderful thing about it was to keep me alive while I was out there. I was 18 then. He used me on all his other recording sessions.
And is that how you met the Doobie Brothers or Steely Dan or any of those people?
Eventually it was, yeah. I played a lot of clubs, and one of the bands I played in... We were just local L.A. club musicians, but you could meet a lot of people in those clubs.
Yeah.
That's where I met Jeff Beccaro first. And so, you know, word of mouth is such that when certain bands were auditioning to go on the road, someone who might be working for that band would remember somebody that might fit the job description that they were looking for. You know?
Yeah.
And in my case, I could sing all the high parts in my natural voice. I can't anymore, but back then I could. And so that I was a valuable asset to any band that was trying not to hire too many people. You know?
Right, they were like, we can get like three out
I could
of this
play
guy.
Play keyboards and sing the high parts. You know?
So then it's 1976, and you write two songs for the Doobie Brothers for the album Taken to the Streets. You wrote the title track and It Keeps You Running, and you come in working with them, and then you write these songs. Were you always writing songs?
Well, I was, yes, and that was probably a lull in my songwriting, actually. But you know, you always have songs laying around.
Lulls are good for you.
Yeah. I was very fortunate. You know, I mean, the Doobies were always such a generous band, and they were just desperate enough that they called me, and you know, all these things kind of conspired to be in my better luck. You know, and I met them, and we rehearsed 2 days and finished out the tour. You know. There were so many bands that there were the principals and then there were the other guys.
Right.
And, you know, with the Doobies, it was always, you know, everybody in the band was really proud to be a Doobie Brother. To this day, I think of myself as a Doobie Brother, you know, all these years later, you know. Yeah. Anytime these days, you know, I'm 67 now, so... You know, when we're on stage together, I don't think it's lost on any of us that none of us in our wildest dreams thought we would still be taking the stage together in our 60s, you know, and playing music together. So it's amazing to me, you know.
Yeah. And your latest album called Wide Open, it's released in 2017. It's the first collection of new music in 17 years. And I read that your son, Dylan, co-wrote a couple songs on the album.
He co-wrote one of them with me, yes. It was an idea he had that I wrote lyrics to. He was actually showing me a chord progression. He was trying to teach me some chords on guitar.
Yeah.
And so he, you know, he made this progression and he was describing chords to me kind of like I would have at his age. This is a Dave Navarro chord, you know, not an A minor or a C minor, but a Dave Navarro chord. So I, you know, I remember saying to him, I said, why? I like that. I like that chord progression. And we should write something, to which he replied, yeah. And so I went off, and he, myself, and his uncle, my brother-in-law, we wrote some lyrics to it and then recorded a demo of it. And I'm still trying to get him to record that song, and he just doesn't want to.
He doesn't want to?
I think it would be a perfect song for him. It would actually be a better record, I think, with his band than what we did. I mean, I enjoy the song. I love playing it live, but... I still would like to hear his band play it, because they're more of a rock band.
You know? Well, maybe you can get someone who's not his dad to suggest it.
You know, that's pretty much what it would take, actually. Yeah.
So if I say your name to a friend, they smile and yell back, yacht rock, which, of course, is a term that did not exist when the genre was actually active from like 1975 to 84, but it was coined in 2005. So what do you think of the term yacht rock?
In my case, in my age, musicians my age, thank God for casinos, you know, yacht rock, oldies radio, you know, you name it. All those things came along just in time, you know, to keep us working, you know. Yeah.
That's right. All right. Are you ready for an Ask Me Another challenge?
Sure.
So you told us that you're actually really obsessed with female singers from the 60s and 70s. So in this game, we're going to play you a clip.
Okay.
You just identify the singer.
Okay.
That's it. However, each clip is just a few seconds long.
Okay.
And if you do well enough, listener Martha Swanson from Santa Barbara will win and Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
All right, here we go. This 1967 hit was originally written and recorded by Otis Redding. Find
out what it means to me. Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, that's right, of course. Now, apparently, Otis Redding originally didn't like Aretha's version.
Really?
Because when he heard it, he realized that it no longer belonged to him.
Ah. Huh.
All right, this 1965 song followed the hit songs Heat Wave and Dancing in the Streets.
Oh, yeah, Martha and the Vandellas, yeah.
Martha and the Vandellas is correct.
One of my favorite songs, yeah.
You covered this song.
I did, yeah.
And supposedly Martha and the Vandellas got their big break when Martha Reeves, who was working as a secretary for Motown Records, snagged the chance to sing backup to Marvin Gaye in a recording session.
Wow.
All right, this 1972 song is performed by a gospel family band who often played before Martin Luther King's speeches. I'm calling, calling,
calling for mercy. Mavis Staples.
That's right, yes. Bob Dylan proposed to her, but she turned him down.
Yeah, she probably made a good choice there.
She later married a Chicago mortician named Spencer Leake. Not a good name.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
All right, this is your last clip. This song was released in 1974.
Oh, Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, Linda Ronstadt, you're no good. All right, well, congratulations, Michael McDonald. You did fantastic. Oh. And you and listener Martha Swanson both won Ask Me Another Rubik's Cubes. Michael McDonald will perform a benefit concert for the Rhythmic Arts Project right here at the Lobero Theater on November 1st. And his latest album, Wide Open, is available now. Give it up for Michael McDonald. Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our next two contestants will play a game where they have to guess if an ice cream is real or fake. I believe all ice creams are fake. Yeah, that's right. Deny, deny, deny. That way the calories don't count. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Kate Morix. You're a graduate student at UC Santa Barbara in ethnomusicology.
Yes.
Fantastic. So you're studying how people use music in social circumstances.
Yes.
Have you studied how music influences people's, let's say, you know, what they play in shopping malls or whatever to get people to purchase things?
Yes. There's actually a lot been written about shopping mall music.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of creepy and dystopian.
Good. Like, yeah, let's hear about it. Give me one
like
dystopian fact.
Like, they place stuff in the hallway to drive people into the stores, and then they blast music really loud, in the stores themselves to get people to buy things. Because apparently when you're being like yelled at or singed at really loud, you buy more shirts.
Really? Got it. All right, Kay, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Your opponent is Sam Capoli, mechanical engineer for naval ships, and you accidentally created a sauce packet collection.
A lot of sauces.
Okay, yeah, how did this happen?
So someone at work, a colleague of mine, gave me a McDonald's strawberry jam packet and said, here, for the collection. I had no idea. I mean, what does that mean? Like,
yeah.
What are you trying to tell me?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, sure, I'll go put it up here on my collection. Tacked it to my board, and then people just started bringing me packets.
How strong is this collection? How many pieces?
I think it's at about 63 right now.
What? Okay. All right. All right, Sam, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Remember, Kate and Sam, whoever has more points after two games will go to our final round. So Santa Barbara is home to McConnell's Ice Cream, which has been around since 1949. And it's known for unique flavors like olive oil and salted almond and Earl Grey and shortbread. So in this guessing game, Jonathan and I will name ice cream flavors. You're going to ring in and guess if it's real or something we made up. But be careful, because if you're guessing correctly, your opponent automatically scores the point. Here we go.
At Salt and Straw in Portland, a sherbet called Avocado Toast Supreme. Kate.
That's true.
Yes, that is a real flavor.
Oh, yeah. Of course that is. Portland, sherbet, avocado. It's like I'm saying the same word over and over and over again. But can you get a poached egg on top for an extra $6? That's the question.
At Ice Artisan in Scotland, mayonnaise ice cream. Sam.
I really want that to be true.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah. On the Today Show, the shop's owner described it as a full-on hit of fat and cream, followed with an eggy, milky aftertaste.
Oh. Yum.
So if you weren't sold on it before, perhaps maybe now you will be.
Yeah. At Torimi Cafe in Japan, cockatiel ice cream. Kate.
True?
Yeah, it's real. Okay, it's a honey apple flavor with sunflower and pumpkin seeds. They describe it as tasting like the moment when you're sleeping with your mouth open and your cockatiel runs over your face and gets its leg in your mouth.
What is going on over there?
At Cocky Taqueria in Los Angeles, fish taco ice cream with tiny bits of fried fish and topped with mango salsa. Sam.
I feel like this is true.
I'm sorry, it is fake.
Oh, good.
We made that up.
This is your last clue. At Bill's Chocolate Emporium in Bar Harbor, Maine, lobster ice cream. Kate.
I think that's real.
It is absolutely real. You know, if you mix that with the mayonnaise ice cream, you get yourself a lobster salad.
Great game. Kate is in the lead. If you have ever calculated the exact amount of time to leave ice cream on the counter so it gets just soft enough, you should be on our show. Go to amatickets.org to learn how to be a contestant. Coming up, we'll meet a water taxi captain and play a game where contestants guess if things are older or younger than Santa Barbara member station KCLU. By the way, I can tell KCLU has had some work done. That's a new antenna, right? I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest-growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, I mean, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another, coming to you from Santa Barbara, California. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before the break, we met our contestants, Kate and Sam. Our next game is about beach activities that don't involve getting in the water, like going back inside. Kate, do you think life's a beach? And justify your answer, please.
Yes, because I am always getting sunburned, no matter where I am.
I hear you. I hear you on that one. Mm-hmm. When I go to the beach, I'm basically in a hazmat suit.
Yeah. Or like seven layers of sunscreen, so you're just like glowing.
Yeah, yep. I know. It's real fun, right?
Yep.
Very
Love
good.
It.
Good. I'm with you. Sam, what do you think? Life's a beach? Yes,
oh, definitely.
Or no? Yes, and why?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much water all the time, and like sand, I mean, no matter where you get it, it follows you around.
It's true.
Life's a beach because you always have sand and water around
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Are we all high? Are we all high right now?
I feel like that. Okay. Could be.
So tourists flock to California beaches, and then they are surprised to learn that the Pacific is, of course, really cold. That hard truth inspired this music parody game. Kate, stay in the lead, and you are in the final round. Sam, you need to get more points, or you have to watch the 2000 Leonardo DiCaprio movie, The Beach, without once saying, oh, come on.
This game is called Non-Surfing Safari. We rewrote songs by the Beach Boys to be about beach activities you can do without getting more than your feet wet. So ring in to identify the activity, and if you get that right, for a bonus point, you can name the original Beach Boys song. Here we go. You catch me working those columns in the Gothic style. Onion dome and buttress are gonna take a while. It's like the Alhambra meets the Corbusier. We only have until high tide when it's washed away. Kate.
Building sandcastles?
That is correct. For a bonus point, can you name the song?
Surfing USA?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Here's your next one. Wouldn't it be nice to solve the murder of a girl you saw while on the train? Would you like to get a dog named Marley or learn the art of racing in the rain? The girl is gone and maybe he's the killer. A plotty romance or a legal thriller. Or maybe some Anne Rice. Sam.
Summer blockbuster?
No, I'm sorry. That's not what we're looking for. Kate, can you steal?
Reading a novel? like a mystery novel?
Yeah, we'll give that to you. We're looking for beach read is what we're looking for.
But okay.
Yeah, that's correct. Reading we will accept.
We're looking for beach murder.
Beach murder. It's a thing you can do at the beach without really getting your feet wet, I guess. For a bonus point, can you identify the song?
I already forgot it.
That was Wouldn't It Be Nice. Here we go. Beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep. A wedding band buried in the sand. I also found a can. I found a quarter and a dime. People lose things all the time in the sand. Beep, beep, here in the sand. I apologize to all of my music professors in college. Sam.
Beachcombing?
Beachcombing, that's right, or metal detecting, that is correct. For a bonus point, can you identify the song?
Barbara Ann?
Yeah, that's right.
watching the string uncoil, a delta box or parafoil. Be careful how you unwind it, let go and you'll never find it. While the wind blows, it will soar above you.
Sam.
Flying a kite?
Yeah, that's right. Bonus point if you can identify the song.
I Really Love You.
Thank you, Sam, but I need you to name the song. Wait. Flattery will get you nowhere.
Shoot your shot.
Sorry, that was called God Only Knows. But I appreciate the sentiment very much. This is your last clue.
You bump it, you set it, dive until you get it. You spike it, you serve it, win if you deserve it. Bare midriffs are nice, man. Maverick versus Iceman when you're by the tide. Who would ever want to play inside? But on the other hand, you're caked in sweat and sand.
Kate.
Beach volleyball?
Yeah, you got it. For a bonus point, can you name the song?
Kokomo.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys did great, and after two games, Kate is moving on to our final round. The final round is coming up, but first it's time for us to play a game. This is Meet the Expert. So in our research of Santa Barbara, one of our producers stumbled across a water taxi service. And when she told us the boat's name, we became obsessed. The boat is Lil Toot. And its owner is Captain Fred Hirschman. Welcome to the show, Captain Fred.
Glad to be here.
So for everybody outside of Santa Barbara who is not familiar with Little Toot, can you describe Little Toot for everyone?
Little Toot's a cute little yellow tugboat. Goes back and forth across the harbor.
How long is the ride?
It's about 12, 15 minutes.
And what was the inspiration for Little Toot's origin as a water taxi?
We kind of stumbled onto it, but it's right from the story from Hardy Gromanski.
Yeah.
1938. And the boat we bought looked just like the one in the book.
Yeah. And does it have any special features?
It has a... the bubbles come out of the smokestack. And it has a toot-toot whistle. It has a smile on the bow.
That's amazing.
And the kids get to help drive.
And the kids can help drive. Is it easy to drive, the tugboat?
No, it takes years and years of practice.
Years and years. And why did you start a water taxi business?
I grew up on the water.
Yeah.
And I was in the Coast Guard, and then I was in business, and I retired, and we needed something to do. So we went to the city with an idea, and they said, no, we don't like that idea. So we'd rather have a regular scheduled water taxi from the wharf to the harbor. So we scratched out our business plan, and now we're in the water taxi business.
What was the other business plan that they didn't like?
We were going to have a wine tour on an electric boat.
Ah. So you, Captain Fred, you grew up on a sailboat, as you mentioned, and you were in the Coast Guard. You know a lot about boats.
I would like to think so, yes.
Yeah. Our house musician, Jonathan Colton, also has experience with boats, because every year he runs his own cruise, the Joco Cruise.
That's correct, yeah.
So have you picked up any boat knowledge along the years of doing?
They don't let me drive the cruise ship.
They don't?
Apparently it's very complicated. So I'm not allowed to do that. But yeah, I guess I may have picked up a couple of things here and there. One thing I know is that they get very angry when you call it a boat. It's supposed to be called a ship.
Oh.
And when you say boat, they say, no, it's a ship.
What's the difference?
I don't know. Do you know the difference, Captain Fred? Do you know why they get angry?
You can put a boat on a ship.
But you can't put a ship on a boat.
If it has other boats on it, then it's a ship. That makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, so this is perfect. Jonathan, Captain Fred, and I are going to quiz you about basic nautical knowledge.
Good.
And if you fail, you are never allowed to go to sea again.
It's going to make it hard to run the cruise, but
it is?
Okay.
All right.
I accept your terms.
First question, what unit of measurement describes a boat's speed?
I believe that is the knot.
Correct. Correct.
That's a not. Okay, very good. Well done. So, and what is a not equal? Like, if I say, well, what's a not?
A nautical mile is a mile and an eighth.
A mile and an eighth.
Yeah.
Seems easy to remember.
Yeah.
And so, little toot. Like, if you really punch it, how many knots could you go?
Six.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds fast.
Yeah.
Jonathan, what does a boat's green safety light indicate?
A green safety light.
Green safety light.
I have seen a lot of times on boats, there's like a red light and a green light on the front, which I think is some indication of which side of the boat when you can't see the boat at night. So maybe the green light has something to do with which way you're supposed to cross in front of the boat?
It marks the right-hand side.
The right-hand side, which is the starboard side.
Starboard side.
So can we give him a point for that? What do you think? Very generous. Very generous.
Thanks, little toot.
So speaking of safety, sharing the harbor with other recreational boats has got to be pretty challenging if you're, you know, going full speed at six knots and a little toot. Right. Yeah. So what are some of the challenges there?
Stand-up paddle boards, kayaks, other boats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which ones do you like the least?
Kayaks.
Kayaks!
They call them speed bumps.
Speed bumps? All right, this is your last clue, Jonathan. You're doing great.
Terrific, thank you.
You're doing great. Jonathan, when speaking over the radio to another boat, what should you say to end the conversation?
You say, like, nice talking to you, other boat. No, you say, I don't know if this is a ship thing, but I think radio etiquette is you say over and out.
Over and out.
A conversation. I don't know if it's the same on a ship.
One or the other, not both of them.
Oh, no, okay.
When you're finished talking, you say over.
Oh, okay.
When you're done with the conversation, you say out or clear.
Oh, so when I finish the end of my thought, I say over.
Over.
And that indicates...
Then it's the other person's time to talk.
And when we're done completely, I say out.
Out.
But if I say over and out, confusing. What's going on there?
Rookies.
Right, somebody from the soft cruise industry is
trying to... I bet kayakers say over and out.
I bet they do.
Okay, I guess, Jonathan, you did amazing. So
Thank
I
you.
Guess we will let you get on a boat again. I learned so many things, so thank you so much. Give it up for our expert, everybody. Little Toot Captain, Fred Hirschman. So it's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalist, Alex Johnson, who has the best laugh of all time. And Kate Morix, who tells us that when you get yelled at, you buy more shirts. Alex and Kate, we're here today to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Santa Barbara Public Radio Station, KCLU, founded in 1994. So, your final round is called 25. I am going to name a thing. You're going to tell me, is it older or younger than KCLU? And our big winner will receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube, signed by Michael McDonald. We rolled a 20-sided die backstage, and Alex is going first. Remember, is it older or younger than 25? Here you go. Alex, the Toyota Prius.
Older.
Sorry, it is younger, 1997. Kate, Taco Bell Chalupas.
Oh, younger.
Yes, that is correct. Younger, 1999. Alex, the Choco Taco.
Older.
Older is correct, 1984. Kate, Grey Goose Vodka.
Older.
Younger, 1996. Alex, Crocs, as in the shoes.
Younger.
Younger is correct, 2002. Kate, Call Me By Your Name star Timothée Chalamet.
Who? Younger.
Younger is correct. He was born in 1995. Alex, Santa Barbara native Katy Perry.
Older.
Older, yes, born in 1984. Kate, Billy Blank's first Taibo instructional workout tape.
Older?
Sorry, it is younger, 1999. All right, Jonathan, how are contestants doing?
With that question, Alex has pulled into the lead. It is 3-2.
Alex, the series finale of Cheers.
That's a really tough one.
Isn't it?
It's timeless. Younger.
Sorry, it is older, 1993. Kate, the series premiere of Frasier.
Older.
Older. Also in 1993, just a few months after the Cheers finale. Alex, the first BlackBerry device.
Older.
I'm sorry, the answer is younger, 1999. Kate, Fuji disposable cameras.
Ooh. Older.
Older, 1986. All right, only a few questions left. Jonathan, what's the situation?
This is an exciting game.
I agree.
Kate has turned that deficit around. It is now 4-3. Kate in the lead.
Alex, the London Eye giant Ferris wheel.
I remember a movie plot about that being made, but I don't know the age of the movie or the age of the eye by association.
I feel like we're on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Do I get to phone a friend?
Nope.
50-50?
3 seconds.
Older.
Sorry, it is younger, launched in 2000.
Okay, Ophira, here's the situation.
Oh, yes.
The score is now 4-3.
Yeah.
Kate, if you get this question right, you win the game.
Kate, reunified Germany.
Oh, I'm doing math. It's not working. Older.
Older is correct, 1990. Congratulations, Kate. Alex, shout out. You're awesome. Thank you so much for being an amazing contestant on this show.
Thank you.
And congratulations, Kate. And that's our show. Our podcast drops each Friday. Listen and subscribe. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Camilla Franklin, Madeline Kaplan, Julia Melfi, and senior writers Eric Feinstein and Karen Lurie, with additional material by Ashley Brooke Roberts and Emily Winter. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. Ask Me Another's produced by Mike Katzep, Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Nancy Seychow, Ramel Wood, and our intern Natalie Hatayan, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore. We'd like to thank the Libero Theater.
Hotter Earlobe.
KCLU.
Luck.
And our production partner, WNYC. I'm Harriet Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Join us for a live taping of Ask Me Another at the Bell House Tuesday, November 5th. We'll be joined by Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Paula Cole. You don't want to wait. Tickets and more info at amatickets.org. This is NPR. Next time on Ask Me Another, we're in Seattle with comedian Nicole Byer, and she opens up about how therapy changed her life.
I feel like, especially among Black people, it's stigmatized, and like my uncle, after I started taking ADD medicine, was like, you don't have ADD, and I was like, cool, I'm gonna take these pills and like live.
So join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.